Good afternoon, everybody. Shmuel Plotz, we're coming at you live from my house. It is Gulf Meadows Synagogue School of Jewish Studies. Pleasure to announce that we're starting a new book right now in our Monday slot when we do a book club class. We'll be doing the following book, The Majesty of Rosh Hashanah, Understanding Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, written by Rabbi Shimon Mordechai Cohen of Gateshead Yeshiva in England. Let's get right to it. We're going to start with the introduction, number one. It's on page 37 of your book. He spends a lot of time thanking a lot of people, including God, his wife, his children, his rabbis. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that, what can I say? We're not going to be reading 37 pages of thank yous. So we're going to get right to it, and we're going to get into the introduction, Roman numeral one. Let's get started right now. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Hadin, the Day of Judgment. By the way, he's going to be writing an entire book that will be looking at the various verses, the psukim, that make up Malchios and Shofros and Zichronos, the very all-important prayer. It's the crux of the Musaf prayer, the additional prayer that we say on holidays and Shabbos, on Rosh Hashanah. It's a super important part of the Musaf Amidah, the Shemoneh Esrei, where we have 10 psukim, 10 verses, culled from the five books of Moses and the book of Psalms and from the prophets. And so some of them are going to be verses that talk about God as king. Some will be talking about God as the one who remembers everything. And some verses will talk about that we are going to be coronating God as the king on Rosh Hashanah with a shofar. And it's super important. We really need to understand the Musaf as we get into Rosh Hashanah. We have to understand these psukim, so let's get right to it. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Hadin, the Day of Judgment. Throughout this commentary, we will refer to the judgment that takes place on Rosh Hashanah. It is important for us to understand what is meant by this judgment and how it relates to our lives. Rosh Hashanah, called Yom HaZikaron in the Torah, is the Yom Hadin, the day when God judges the entire world, every nation, and each individual. The opening section of the Zichronos prayer, Zichronos are the psukim having to do with Hashem is Zocher, Hashem remembers everything that we've done. So that section is called Zichronos, remembrances. The opening section of the remembrance Zichronos prayer describes the vast remit of this judgment. Past, present, and future are analyzed. Nothing is ignored or forgotten, even after thousands of years. The entirety of all that has ever transpired is taken into account, with cause and effect weighed and measured. Thoughts, schemes, and motives are all known. Nothing can be withheld from the scales of divine justice. How Hashem's judgment affects our lives in this world and in the world to come is a vast subject, which the Talmud, its commentaries, and other sources expound upon. According to Tosafos, on Rosh Hashanah 16b in the Babylonian Talmud, we are judged on Rosh Hashanah vis-a-vis our status in the world to come. What is decreed by God regarding this world is dependent upon that judgment. We will discuss some ways in which a person's status in the world to come may affect his life in this world. Again, I'm on top of page 38. We will discuss some ways in which a person's status in the world to come may affect his life in this world. An individual who is found to be righteous and therefore deserving of great reward in the world to come may be found wanting due to a small number of sins he committed. In order that he will be spared retribution in the world to come, it is decided that he must undergo suffering in this life. Another righteous person, also deserving of eternal reward, may be granted a tranquil life in order that he will have the ability to properly study the Torah and fulfill its mitzvos. A third person, no less deserving than the first two, is found to have a specific purpose in life. He must be tested through specific challenges in order to provide the setting for the spiritual growth that God knows he needs. All is dependent on the outcome of God's judgment regarding his current Olam Haba, world to come status. If a person is found to be deserving of retribution in the world to come, he may be granted wealth and a long life in this world. to pay him off for any mitzvahs he performed. He may instead have to suffer in order that he will be aroused to tshuva. A wicked person may suffer in this world as well as in the next if he is found to lack any redeeming qualities. He may instead be granted a seemingly wonderful life only in order to test our faith in God's system of justice. If we succeed in this test, we will be the true beneficiaries of his happiness. The Ramban, Nachmanides, in his Shal HaGemul, has a different understanding. He writes that we are judged in Rosh Hashanah concerning this world alone. In this world, only a portion of good deeds are rewarded, and only a portion of sins are punished. The remainder is accounted for in the world to come. God alone decides whether the appropriate setting for the reward of a mitzvah or the punishment of a sin is in this world or the next. The tzaddik, whose verdict is life, which refers not only to life itself, but also to health, wealth, and tranquility, is someone who in God's judgment deserves that life in this world. This may be due to his absolute righteousness. On the other hand, it may be due to his wickedness, which renders him undeserving of the eternal spiritual reward of the world to come, and therefore he is fit only for the transitory and fleeting pleasures of this lowly world. The Rasha, who is condemned to death or suffering, top page 39, may actually be righteous, but God has decreed his misfortune in order to save him from far greater suffering in the next world. The factors which contribute to God's decision to grant reward or to mete out punishment in this world or in the next are known to God alone. The terms tzaddik, which usually means a righteous person, and rasha, which usually means a wicked person, explains the Ramban, have an entirely different meaning in the context of God's judgment. Here they refer not to the person's overall righteousness or wickedness, but to the practical ramifications of his judgment with regard to this world. The Gemara says clearly that on Rosh Hashanah, the righteous are inscribed and sealed for life. The wicked are inscribed and sealed to die. And those in between are given until Yom Kippur for their judgment to be finalized. However we understand this, God's judgment is incomprehensible to us mortals, as is written in Tehillim, Mishpatecha Tehom Rabbah, your judgments are like the vast deep waters, Psalm 36, verse 7. Although God's system of justice is unfathomable to us, our lives, the lives of our nearest and dearest, all of Israel and the entire world, are directly affected by God's judgment on Rosh Hashanah. There is no room for complacency. Our teshuvah, tefillah, and tzedakah are vital. Nothing that we have can be taken for granted, not even life itself. In light of the above, we realize that we are hardly in a position to interpret what happens in the coming year as reflecting the righteousness of a particular person or group. Upon hearing something good or bad that happened, we should not conclude that those affected are more or less worthy than they seem. Only our sages and subsequent great Torah scholars are in any position, with their great insight in Ruach HaKodesh, to draw conclusions of this nature. While there is sometimes the temptation to surmise that a certain event in our lives took place due to something that we did, our Torah leaders generally discourage such direct inferences. As we shall learn, part of the avodah of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros is to understand that our role is to trustingly and lovingly accept whatever God sends our way, remaining his loyal and devoted nation under all circumstances. This trust in God, which Klal Yisrael as a unit has continued to demonstrate throughout the generations, is itself one of our greatest sources of merit, and we will be greatly rewarded. When praying to God on the Yom HaNarayim and the High Holidays, we are beseeching God for life in this world as well as in the next world. We're on top of page 40. We ask for long, healthy lives, for prosperity and many other blessings that we need. We have individual and communal concerns in mind. We wish to be found spiritually meritorious and to be granted all that we need in this life. The prayers of Rosh Hashanah help us realize that the way to merit these blessings is to cast ourselves at the throne of God, temporarily putting aside all those legitimate concerns and focusing on the big picture. We speak of the purpose of creation and of our mission as God's nation. We implore God to reveal his presence in his world. Through doing so, we devote ourselves to the fulfillment of his will. We become his loyal servants and soldiers. This entitles us to hope for the granting of our worldly needs, for without that, we cannot function in our role. Accepting God as king means that we are beginning the teshuvah process ourselves, rectifying our misdeeds and enabling us to find far greater merit before him. While no individual is guaranteed that he will be granted life in this world, the avoda of Rosh Hashanah is a tremendous source of merit towards being granted life and all our needs. Malchios, those verses having to do with God's kingship. Zichronos, having to do with God's remembering everything. And Shofros, having to do with blowing the shofar, are central pillars of that avoda. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros are central pillars of that service of God. May Hashem enable us to come closer to him through these prayers and find favor before him on these days of awe. The summary of that introduction is, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment. Past, present, and future are all analyzed. God's judgment is not comprehensible to us. Therefore, we cannot interpret why things happen. Our role is to accept trustingly whatever God sends us. Finally, the prayers of Rosh Hashanah help us to focus on the big picture, our purpose in creation and as a nation. Through realizing this, we devote ourselves to his will. And now, introduction number two. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Page 42. Musaf, that extra prayer on Rosh Hashanah, the longest Amida of the year, the longest Shmoneh Esrei of the year, includes three unique prayers, which are known as Malchios, having to do with God's kingship, Zichronos, having to do with God's remembering everything, and Shofros, the role of the shofar in the collective Jewish life. The theme of Malchios is the recognition and acceptance of God as our King. The theme of Zichronos is God's all-encompassing awareness of all existence and the favorable zikaron, the favorable merit that he grants to those who actively remember him. The theme of Shofros is the shofar, the instrument of divine revelation at the giving of the Torah. The shofar will be blown to herald the future ingathering of exiles and is the instrument which God commands us to hear on Rosh Hashanah. Each of these three sections of prayer incorporates 10 verses organized in a set pattern. First, there are three verses from the Torah. Next are three verses from Ksuvim, all of which are from the book of Psalms, followed by three verses from the Nevi'im. The concluding 10th verse is from the Torah itself. Each section is accompanied by the notes of the shofar. The shofar draws our attention to the eternal words of the verses, and the verses express the shofar's message. Top page 43, the centrality of the verses. The recital of these verses on Rosh Hashanah is alluded to in the Torah itself. The verses, together with their accompanying prayers, are central to the essence of Rosh Hashanah and to the midah of Tekiyah Shofar. The Gemara in the name of Rabbi Akiva says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said, Imra lefanai b'Rosh Hashanah, Malchios, Zichronos, b'Shofros. Say before me in Rosh Hashanah, verses having to do with my kingship, my memory, and the role of the shofar in Jewish life. Malchios kedei shetam lichuni aleichem. Read to me verses that have to do with my being the king, so that you can coronate me as your king. Zichronos, read verses having to do with God's memory, his all-encompassing memory, kedei sheya'aleh zichroneichem lechom ha'atovah, so that your remembrance, meaning the remembrance of the nation of Israel, God speaks now and says, I want you to read Malchios, because then you should crown me king. Zichronos, I want you to read verses having to do with my memory, so that your memory, O Israel, the memory of Israel, the status, the reality, the memory of the nation of Israel should come before God, Latova, for the good. Okay, so that's the Chronos, and that's Malchios. What's left? Uva man, how are you going to remember the existence of Israel for the good? How is God going to accomplish that? By shofar, by blowing the shofar, and or remembering to read verses having to do with the shofar. And that section is appropriately called shofaros. And that should be a Akiva statement in the Talmud. See Rosh Hashanah 16a. It is clear from this statement of Rabbi Akiva that the recital of these sections of prayer with their sets of verses is a mitzvah in its own right. It is a mitzvah which can and should have a powerful impact on who we are and on our relationship with our Creator. In addition, as Rabbi Akiva tells us, the proper fulfillment of this mitzvah makes a decisive, positive difference in God's judgment of us on Rosh Hashanah. Again, Rabbi Akiva tells us that the proper fulfillment of this mitzvah makes a decisive, positive difference in God's judgment of us on Rosh Hashanah. Could there be anything more important than that? Within the blessings of Malchios, the Chronos, and Shofros, of remembrance verses, kingship verses, and Shofar verses, within the blessings of all those three divisions, the 10 verses of each section are of particular importance. You have three divisions, and each one is going to be further divided into scripture and the five books of Moses, and then the holy writings, which is, of course, the book of Psalms, and finally the prophets. So what can I say? I'm happy. Within the blessings of Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros, the 10 verses of each section are of particular importance. The verses themselves are referred to as the Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros, top page 44. The blessings which our sages constructed around them are the blessings of Malchios, but not the actual Malchios themselves. That being the case, the statement of Rabbi Akiva above also refers primarily to our recital of the verses, rather than the entire blessings built around them. In other words, it is about the verses of Malchios, the Chronos, and Shofros that Rabbi Akiva spoke, teaching us their tremendous import of their proper recital before God on Rosh Hashanah. We've got to learn that tremendous import of their proper understanding. Can Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros really change us? Since our sages tell us that by saying these verses, we are accepting God as our King and causing our remembrance to come favorably before Him, it is axiomatic that real and meaningful change within ourselves can be effected through so doing. The verses offer us a tremendous opportunity. Are we utilizing the opportunity? The Baalei Mussar, those from the Mussar school, would emphasize that in order for Malchios to be a truly meaningful acceptance of God as King, it's vital that we prepare ourselves in advance. The better our preparation, the deeper will be the effect that the acceptance of God's kingship has upon us. For that reason, the month of Elul, preceding Rosh Hashanah, is designated for introspection and repentance. At Gulf Manor Synagogue, we say, why not start during the 9 days? I remember reading a beautiful piece by Rabbi Hillel Danziger, I believe, the new rabbi of Hebrew Orthodox Congregation in South Bend, Indiana, who has been learning in Lakewood, and now he's going to be taking the position of rabbi of the shul. He wrote a beautiful two-page letter to his new congregation, and he said, some people want to get through the 9 days. They cannot wait to get past it. The 3 weeks, the 9 days, it's such a hassle. You can't go swimming, and there's no music. Now there's no fun and games, and there's no swimming, and there's no, I mean, there's almost nothing you can do, and no meat. What are you going to do? Oh, my heavens. So what are you going to do? Says Rabbi Danziger, don't rush through the 3 weeks. Don't rush through the 9 days. It's part and parcel of the Jewish calendar. It's part and parcel of the Jewish life. We have to live through those 3 weeks because they are God's way of saying, you blew it years ago, and you still are blowing it because the Beis Hamikdash is not up yet. If you were behaving yourself, it would be here already. But you're not behaving. So therefore, you're still at fault. So we have to understand that the 3 weeks are built into the Jewish calendar year to remind us of the things that we did wrong. And of course, it's a jump start to do tshuva. And then comes the month of Elul, which is all about doing tshuva. Then comes Rosh Hashanah and the 10 days of tshuva, culminating in Yom Kippur. It is amazing how much focus and emphasis we put on doing tshuva, doing repentance. We do the same thing during Sfira. It's also a time to do tshuva, right? We shouldn't forget about that. Sfira has aspects of that, for sure. And the Bahab chapters, the Bahab Parshios, how about that? You know, Bays and Hay and Bays during those 2 weeks, right after Sukkot. There's mini fasts historically. It's like it's just the entire year seems to be. And what about Shovav or Shovavim? Shmos, Va'era, Bo, and Yisro, and Mishpatim, and so on. Those parshas are all about doing tshuva also. The entire year, we're doing tshuva. Nothing wrong with that. It's a great thing. Okay? For that reason, the month of Elul, preceding Rosh Hashanah, is designated for introspection and repentance. This process enables a person to accustom himself to life as a servant of God. The greater one's tshuva, the more a person actually changes his life in advance of Rosh Hashanah, the more he can succeed in actualizing that change through the recital of these 30 verses in prayer. The impact that the avod of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros will have on us will be according to the effect that we have invested in this preparation process. Such preparation is possible for each and every one of us to accomplish. Hashem expects each one of us to prepare for Rosh Hashanah according to our abilities, our knowledge, and our opportunities. Studying these verses in preparation or during Rosh Hashanah can pave the way to tshuva in an inspirational and non-threatening way, leading to lasting spiritual growth. It will enhance our tshuva and allow us to focus on the essence of the Avodas HaTfilah. It will enable us to focus on the essence of the service of the prayers of Rosh Hashanah. Middle page 45, reciting the verses in prayer to internalize their message. It is noteworthy that this process of reaffirming our emunah takes place during prayer when we are communicating with God. The purpose of all prayer is so that the person praying will be uplifted and changed, making him more deserving of his prayers being answered. Rav Hirsch taught that the word lehitpalel, which means to pray, is a reflexive verb. Of course, it's in the hitpael, in the reflexive binyan, we say, you know, lehitlabesh, to dress oneself, titrachetz, to wash oneself. Lehitpalel over here means to weigh oneself spiritually, putting yourself on a spiritual scale. Rabbi Hirsch taught that the verb lehitpalel, which means to pray, is a reflexive verb, indicating that prayer is something which changes the one who prays. See Chorev, chapter 98. In prayer, we make ourselves aware of the immediacy of God's presence, of his great goodness, his kindness, and his power. The challenge of prayer is to internalize this awareness and grow spiritually as a result. For this reason, there is no better setting for strengthening and reaffirming our faith in God than Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, when we are focused spiritually and able to take the opportunity to impress the principles of faith of Emunah on our hearts. The Torah's program for establishing our faith in God. As we have seen, the verses of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros present us with a message of inspiration and growth. Why these three? How are they connected to each other? Before we delve into their individual teachings, what is their overall message? Top page 46. The three principles. The Sefer Ikarim, by Rabbi Elba, Rabbi Yosef Elba, the Book of Fundamentals. He states that there are three major principles upon which Jewish belief rests. And these are, number one, Metzius Hashem, the reality that God exists, the existence of God, who is the creator and sustainer of all that exists. Number two, Hashgachas Hashem, Schar V'Onesh. God is aware of everything that happens. He rewards those who do good, and he punishes evildoers. And finally, Torah Min HaShemayim, that the Torah was given by God to the Jewish people at Sinai. Sefer Ikarim writes further that these three principles are the subject matter of the three blessings of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. In Malchios, in those verses, talking about God as king. In Malchus, when we accept God as our king, we acknowledge the all-encompassing truth of the existence of God, on whom all else depends. That's the first principle. In Zechronos, verses talking about God's memory, we focus on Hashem's awareness of all that occurs and his readiness to reciprocate when we seek to come close to him. By doing so, we acknowledge Hashgacha Pratis, personal divine supervision over every person, and also we acknowledge reward and punishment. That's the second principle. Finally, Shofros is our statement of Emunah in Torah Min HaShemayim, Torah coming from God in heaven. That's the third principle. In these three blessings, writes the Sefer Yekarim, our sages are making us aware that in the merit of our complete Emunah in the three principles, with all that they include, will merit a favorable judgment by God. According to the Sefer Yekarim, then, the purpose of these three sections, Malchios, kingship, Zechronos, remembrance, Malchios, kingship, remembrance, and Shofros, is for us to establish and declare our Emunah in the fundamental principles of Judaism. Page 47. This affirmation of our Emunah tilts the scales of divine judgment in our favor. It is the foundation of a life of faith in God, in his providence, and in his holy Torah. Reciting these verses and prayers with sincere resolve to bring our Emunah into our day-to-day lives entitles us to ask God for the gift of life itself. We don't claim to be deserving, but we come before him expressing our wish to serve him, and we ask only for the opportunity to do so. Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros, a gift from God. Ordinarily, when someone appears in court, he or she needs to come armed with as convincing a case as he or she can possibly present. On Rosh Hashanah, we come before God not knowing if our case is strong and if our merits are adequate. God, the benevolent judge, hands us a platter with everything that we need to emerge meritorious from his judgment. As the Pesikta says, the Pesikta of Kahana, Ostes, a human king, when one comes before him, one arrives laden with gifts, and he leaves empty-handed. With God, however, it's not so. When we come before him, we are empty. And when we are before him, he fills us with merits. This is the gift of the prayers of Rosh Hashanah, and of these sections specifically. As the Yalkut Shimoni says, without the prayer of the prayers of Rosh Hashanah, we would not have sufficient sources of merit to be found deserving of life. With the merit of these prayers, it is as if we have been recreated. Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros are a program for life, enabling us to merit life and laying the foundations for a meaningful life. The opportunity to come before God on Judgment Day and be granted such a great source of merit as Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros is truly an extraordinary gift. Middle page 48. The Patriarchs and the Three Pillars says, Pirkei Avos, chapter 1, Mishnah 2. Al shlosha devarim ha'olam ha'meid. On three things the world stands. Al ha-Torah, ve'al ha'avodah, ve'al gemilas chasadim. On Torah, and on worship, or avodah, which means sacrifices and prayer, and on gemilas chasadim, acts of kindness. The Chida explains, on Torah, that's Yaakov Avinu, Jacob. On avodah, service, it's Isaac. On Gemilas Chasadim, acts of kindness, Abraham. Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros correspond to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, respectively, as we will now explain. The foundations of Klal Yisrael were laid by the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, each of whom recognized and served God in his unique way. Abraham excelled in the trade of loving kindness. He looked around and understood that the universe is the amazingly planned creation of a supremely kind creator. A kind person can appreciate an even kinder person. Similarly, Avram was able to perceive the presence of God, who created and renews the world with chesed, with kindness. Top page 49. Avram realized that it was his role to proclaim the presence of the one beneficent creator. If the God revealed himself to Avram, this became Avram's duty. He realized that the way he could achieve this was to act as God's ambassador to humanity, spreading faith in him and emulating his ways of kindness. due to Avraham, who made him known. Hashem is recognized as Melech, King of the Universe, who created and constantly recreates the world, purely out of chesed, just out of kindness. Malchios, our recognition of God as King, corresponds to the merit of Avraham, who established the pillar of Gemilas Chasadim, of loving kindness. When we recite Malchios, we too should think about what we are doing to reveal God as King in this world, in his world, even if in one little corner of it. How can we emulate Avraham's Midah of Chesed and build this pillar of the world's existence into our lives? Isaac, who was sanctified from birth, grew up in the home of Avraham and Sarah, upon which the Shekhinah, the divine presence of God, rested. He built up that holiness until he was granted the ultimate sanctity of being set aside and bound as an Ola Tamima, a perfect sacrifice to Hashem. As well as continuing in the ways of Avraham, Yitzchak trailblazed the path to Avoda, divine service, both in the form of sacrifices and in prayer. Yitzchak's Midah, his character trait, was Pachad, okay? An intense awareness of the omnipresence of God. It was due to this awareness that he put such a great emphasis on communicating with Hashem, which leads to yet greater awareness of his presence and his kindness. Zichronos, our recognition of God's presence in the world and his remembrance of Israel, corresponds to the merit of Yitzchak, who established the pillar of Avoda. When we recite Zichronos, remembrance verses that Hashem remembers everything, when we recite them, we too should think about what our Avoda of Tevila is going to be like. Do we allow ourselves to connect with God in prayer? Or is it a burden upon us as we implore God to remember us? Let us not forget that he will reveal his presence to the extent that we remember him in daily life. Jacob, whose life is filled with trials, succeeded in all the difficult situations he was put through due to his trait of truth. From his earliest youth, Jacob immersed himself in Hashem's truth, as taught to him by his holy forebears. Even as his wily twin brother lived a double life and seemed to be more zealous in the service of God, Yaakov, the Ish Tam, the man of truth, proceeded unfazed in his seemingly simple but intensely holy study and pursuit of the truth of Hashem's Torah. This was the pattern of his life, seeking truth in all situations, notwithstanding the corruption of others with whom he was forced to deal. Because of this achievement, he was renamed Israel and became the founder of our nation, which bears his name. Okay? It was to this nation that God revealed his Torah of truth, and Yaakov remains the symbol of Torah and of uncompromising commitment to the Midah of Emes, truth, in Torah and in all areas of life. Middle page 50. Shofros, our recognition of the truth of God's Torah, corresponds to the merit of Yaakov, who established the pillar of Torah. When we recite Shofros, we too should think about our commitment to Torah and to the Midah of Emes. To what extent are we committed to seeking the truth in Torah and in our daily lives when dealing with others in business and in employment? Hashem wants us to hear the Shofar's call on Rosh Hashanah and to take its message with us, just as Jacob took his pursuit of Emes with him, leading to his establishment of Klal Yisrael, his eternal legacy. The significance of 10 verses in each section. The source for reciting 10 verses is the Mishnah. The Talmud cites 3 opinions as to what the 10 verses correspond to. Rabbi Levi says that the 10 verses correspond to the 10 Hilulim, expressions of praise to Hashem in the final chapter of Psalms. Hallelujah, hallelujah, kel b'kacha. Praise God in His holiness. The Gemara explains that this mizmor is relevant because one of the expressions of praise is hallelujah b'teka shofar. Praise Him with the blast of the shofar. Top page 51. Rav Yosef says that the 10 verses correspond to the Aseret HaDibros, the 10 commandments. And finally, Rabbi Yochanan says that the 10 verses correspond to the 10 utterances with which Hashem brought the world into being. Rav Aaron Leib Steinman explains that these 3 opinions are not at odds with each other. Rabbi Levi tells us that the 10 verses correspond to the 10 Hilulim. These express 10 inspirations to praise God, which include the use of various musical instruments, the shofar among them. The hilulim of this psalm inspire us to devote all our emotions and abilities to God. Correspondingly, it is appropriate that we express our devotion to God in Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofus with dead verses. I'm sorry, with 10. Did I say dead? With 10 verses. Rav Yosef adds to this that not only is it fitting that we devote ourselves to God with all our own abilities, it's also fitting that we take our inspiration from the Torah when devoting ourselves to Him. Top 52. Therefore, says Rav Yosef, the 10 verses correspond to the Aseret HaDibros, which encapsulate all 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. Rabbi Yochanan adds that in order to fully accept God as King, we need to take our inspiration from all of creation. Therefore, he says, the 10 verses correspond to the 10 ma'amaros, the 10 utterances at the creation. Therefore, he says, the 10 verses in Malchus, Shofar, and Zechronos correspond to the Asara ma'amaros, to the 10 utterances of God at the creation of the world, with which God created and sustains all existence. To summarize, with the 10 verses of Malchus, Zechronos, and Shofar, respectively, we are utilizing all of our emotions, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and the entire creation to express our complete acceptance of God as King. Okay, that's where I'm going to leave you right now. We didn't finish the chapter, but we will, God willing, next week. We're a couple pages away from finishing the chapter. We'll do that, and then we'll move right on into Introduction to Malchus. I want to thank everybody for calling in. A little bit abbreviated day, but I got a bunch of things to attend to. Thank you so much for that, for allowing me to do it. God willing, we'll see everybody tomorrow night, Tuesday at 7:30 at Goffman Synagogue. Wishing everybody a great day. Shul Plotzker signing off and thanking you all from Goffman Synagogue School of Jewish Studies. Great that we're starting this new book. Take care and be well. Bye-bye now.